the intro.
Hello. Hello. And welcome to... Coffee with Cashy. I am your host, Dr. Trevor Cashy. Today's lesson is quite interesting. I'm actually just going to read you and paraphrase and comment on part of one of Bertrand Russell's essays, kind of a big deal in the world of philosophy and that they're thinking stuff in the last 100 years or so. And so what I'm going to read you is actually an excerpt from one of his philosophies on science and happiness that is about 100 years old now, and it covers natural and artificial stuff in the context of science and happiness. And I'm hoping that sorts of insights from Uncle Bertie here will kind of give you a new perspective in the context of how you approach natural versus artificial things and what they mean in terms of health or happiness, okay? So Uncle Bert starts out by saying, "There's a certain attitude about the application of science to human life with which I have some sympathy, though I do not agree with it. It is the attitude of those who dread what is unnatural." That is to say, he understands why people have issues with unnatural things, although he disagrees with it. Rousseau, assuming Jean-Jacques Rousseau, Rousseau is, of course, the great protagonist view of this in Europe, as in an enemy of the unnatural, and in Asia, Lao Tse has set it forth even more persuasively 2,400 years sooner. Like, people have been against unnatural things since civilization has been a thing, essentially, okay? And Bert goes on to say that I think there's a mixture of truth and falsehood in the admiration of nature. Okay, it is good to admire nature, but also admiring nature too much or being afraid of anything that is not nature also causes its own problems. And he says it is important to disentangle these things. To begin with, what is natural? And when he looked through and analyzed the differences between what he thought people considered natural versus unnatural, was that roughly speaking, anything to which the speaker was accustomed to in childhood, that is what he considers natural. And I almost wholeheartedly agree with this. And the rest of this essay is essentially defending that point, that natural is what a person grows up with and they are used to, and unnatural is essentially anything new. So he actually breaks down artificial and natural in a temporal way, rather than separating it chemically, because he goes through a reductionist way of basically showing that everything is artificial. And therefore, what is natural and artificial is just a basic argument of, well, if you're used to it, it's natural, and if it's new, it's artificial, and people have issues taking on new things. And when it is new, they say it is unnatural and artificial, okay? So Lao Tse objects 2,400 years ago, to roads and carriages and boats, all of which were probably unknown in the village where he was born. Rousseau, 2,400 years later, is used to these things and does not regard them as against nature. They're okay. But he would no doubt have thundered against trains had he lived to see them. Okay? Clothes and cooking are too ancient to be denounced by most of the apostles of nature, though they are object to... though they all object to new fashions in either. So the way I am used to cooking and the way I am used to my clothes now is okay. However, when new ways of cooking and new clothes come out, there's going to be resistance to it, okay? And birth control was thought to be wicked by people who tolerate celibacy, because celibacy is the older version and physical and chemical methods of birth control are the newer version, right? So all in all, these ways who preach nature, things that natural is better, they are inconsistent. And one is tempted to regard them as mere conservatives rather than having legitimate justification for the argument for or against natural and artificial, because humans are almost inherently artificial in everything they do. That's the beauty of that there big old noodle we got. Take, for instance, vitamins, okay? The legitimate discovery of which vitamins has produced a revulsion in favor of natural foods, okay? That Vitamins can be supplied via synthesis or by cod liver oil or even by electric light in some instances, okay? And these are certainly not part of the natural diet of a human, right? Although they do provide the same thing. So this illustrates that in the absence of knowledge, that in ignorance, unexpected harm may be done by a new departure from nature. Okay, so this is of being afraid of new things, essentially. But when harm has come to be understood, it can usually be remedied by some new artificiality. So that if new things do cause problems, we can make more new things to deal with those problems. So in regarding to our physical environment and our physical means of gratifying our desires, he says, I do not think the doctrine of nature justifies anything beyond a certain experimental caution in the adoption of new things. So if there is a scientific process in the development and the implementation of things that are unnatural, things that are artificial, which is essentially now just new things, then it makes sense to incorporate them in a systematic way. Clothing, for instance, is contrary to nature. It is against nature. Clothes do not exist. They are all artificial, right? And they also need to be supplemented by another artificial practice, which is doing laundry, okay? Also artificial. Why? So that they do not bring disease, so that they do not cause infections, things of that nature. But the two practices together make a person healthier than the savage person who eschews clothing and washing, right? So there is more to be said for nature in the realm of human desires in that way, to force upon somebody who wants to, how do I say this? He says it in a little more colorful way here, is that really life according to nature makes sense until it does not make sense. And when it does not make sense, you use science to fill the gaps, okay? And nothing could be more artificial than having an underground electric train, okay? What is more artificial than this, okay? And all children will find this experience delightful. So these are just interesting things to consider in the context of natural or artificial, good or worse, okay? So this is something that I really wanted to lay down, that it really has to do with, is this something I'm used to, or is this something that is new, and that people are more likely to accept things that they are aware of, and they are more likely to accept things that they are used to and call them natural than they are to see things that are new to them and then label them as something that is artificial when you look back, it's all artificial. All artificial. Artificial just means man-made, okay? And so unless you are eating things raw and running around naked, everything other than that is artificial, okay? So that's the way she goes. Hopefully you got some value out of that. I thought it was super fun. So this is kind of off the cuff. In any case, thank you so much for learning. Stay rational. Until next time. Want to continue having coffee with Dr. Kashi? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you, and see you next week. Dr. Kashi is out.